If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
The headline from Ukraine this morning, three people were injured after Russia fired nine missiles at Kharkiv last night, Ukraine's second largest city. Let's go to Ukraine right now and get the latest from Joseph Lindsley. Hello, Joe.
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv in western Ukraine. Yes, in Kharkiv, a city where I spent most of the months of January and February, nine missiles were fired at the city. And for almost the past month, there were no missile attacks on Kharkiv City. There was one attack in the past month. And so we'll see if we are returning to these regular attacks. When I was there in January, such attacks happened almost every other day. And so the city's really been through a lot. Over 2 weeks now since a major Russian coordinated missile strike on all of Ukraine. The question is, now that we're emerging from winter, is Russia going to step back from these infrastructure attacks? Is it because they lack the resources to do this, or are they planning some new type of offensive? As we look at Bakhmut, the reports indicate that the pace of the Russian offensive is slowing down. I mean, just a few weeks ago, it seemed that Bakhmut was on the edge of being surrounded. And that's not the case. I mean, there is intense fighting throughout the city, but the Ukrainians still hold it. I was just speaking with a volunteer. She was in Chazhov Yar. She's from Canada. Chazhov Yar is about 10 miles from Bakhmut. And she said she was shaken. She just arrived back in Lviv from her time there. And she was shaken, saying how hellish and horrible it is. And if you go to UkrainianFreedomNews.com, our website, I've posted a video, just a 40-second video, where you can see the perspective of being in a living room in Bakhmut where the war is happening. I was in some of those living rooms in the summer helping deliver supplies and evacuate people, and now the war is actually in the city, and you can watch the Ukrainian soldier shooting through the window if you go there to UkrainianFreedomNews.com. And so it is absolutely incredibly intense there. And then there was, we see this news of the International Olympic Committee, saying that they're considering that allowing the Russians to participate in the Paris Games next year. And as we look at that news, another death of a Ukrainian hero, Vitaly Marinov. He was a four-time world champion kickboxer, and also Ukrainian champion in boxing and universal combat. And he was killed fighting for Ukraine. And so, Ukraine's athletes and its sort of top citizens are dying while the world is deciding whether or not to allow Russians to participate in the Olympics.
And also we have that situation with the Wall Street Journal reporter. Have you heard anything more on that from your contacts, Joseph?
No, nothing more on that. And I imagine that's going to be a difficult and long ordeal for the reporter. Of course, the Russians will use this, use him as a pawn to make negotiations, probably on releasing Russian prisoners of war from Ukraine. And, as all this goes on, the battles are so intense in the east, even if it's calm in many other places in the country. And as I look at what's happening, when I hear the information battles in America, there's a bit of a struggle. There's this popular podcast, the Sean Ryan Show, hosted by a very smart guy, a Navy SEAL. And he just had a new episode with Andrew Bustamante, a former Air Force combat veteran, a CIA veteran. And really, these are great, smart, incredible people. And I was just watching this morning. And in this podcast, they're saying Ukraine is a third world country. Ukraine is not a democracy. And all these things are completely untrue, sort of this blithe dismissal of this country. And all their other analysis about warfare is smart, but they don't understand really what Ukraine is. And I was speaking with a friend who I can't identify. She lived in Ukraine for many years. And we both were frustrated that, even after yesterday was day 400 of this. So today's day 401. People don't understand, or actually they understand the opposite of what this country is. And I was trying to figure out how we can really define Ukraine, to reflect what this country actually is. And my friend said, Ukrainians never lost what it meant to be human before capitalism took over. And it's such a strange thing in our world. I think as we look at many people in America are sort of waking up to, you know, maybe we haven't been living, you know, so well. We haven't lived sort of a healthy life, you know, too much stress. We don't eat healthy food. Ukrainians have had all this. Part of it's because during the Soviet time, so much was paused. And so, in a strange way, that kind of preserved Ukrainians are still connected to the old traditions and the old ways. But also the Ukrainians, even when they were occupied by the Soviets, they fiercely held on to their traditions. And my friend said everything that the West has lost, sort of the old knowledge, Ukraine still has. And even this humanity that is in the Ukrainian culture, I think you even see in the revolutions. If you look right now, what's happening in Paris and throughout France, when they protest, they have, you know, they burn their city. There's trash everywhere. And if you look at all the stories of Ukraine's revolution in 2014, the people who were protesting, police themselves, they kept the cities clean. And even now, when there's airstrikes and missiles falling down, people are sweeping the streets. And there is, I think that's why perhaps, you know, Russia is going after Ukraine with such vehemence. Ukraine is maybe one of the only examples of people who cannot be totally controlled. And that's why this fight is so long and so difficult. And the last thing my friend said, Ukrainians are ahead of the world in democracy. And when we, you know, when I look at, unfortunately, in America, with so many of our debates, they're so angry and all, you know, and verging on violence. And here I see a society of such solidarity. And so as someone who's been here since 2020, I hope to at least share that true reality of the humanity of this country.
Before we let you go today, Joe, I want to get back to a little aside you made this week about President Bush. We're not going to let you get away with name dropping him without explaining that story. What was behind that?
Oh, so many stories about that. But when I was working as protege to the chairman of Fox News, we met the Bushes several times, George H.W. and Barbara Bush, the first lady. And I had several dinners with them. There's many, many stories there. But, you know, I would say the first thing, I mean, they're very kind people. But it shattered many illusions I had. George Bush, for example, was in 1991 encouraging Ukrainians not to get their freedom, not to break away from the Soviet Union. He was a CIA guy. And I know we're going to be out of time. So maybe we can talk about some of these stories in the future. But especially as we look in America with, you know, now there will be the indictment of a former president. My meetings with the Bushes opened my eyes when I was just 24 or 25 years old to a lot of things that I didn't expect about our American system.
We want to hear more. He's the world's most interesting man, Joseph Lindsley. I did interview a reporter years ago who was very, very critical 100% of the time against George Bush. But she told me, but if you want to just have a cocktail with him, there's nobody more fun to be with. I take it that was your impression of him, too.
Well, I think that was probably George W., the son, perhaps. But I mean, they're both very...
W. You're right. You were talking about the father. I get it.
And Barbara Bush did... She was complaining to me that her other son was not president. But we'll save these stories for another time.
I hope you have a peaceful weekend, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob.